We have been blessed. Can I say that this meeting, I needed it. I needed every message. I needed the fellowship. You know, we get into churches and we pastor and we give every week. That's our responsibility. But sometimes you got to come aside. And I needed to hear the preaching this week. And, you know, a Gypsy Smith, old preacher, when asked one time, why are you always so joyous and so happy? He said, I just never want to lose the wonder of it all. The wonder of it all. You know, and I think in our day, we as Christians, if we're not careful, we can lose the wonder of our salvation. We can lose the wonder of what God is doing and what God is means to us and all the blessings of it. And it's times like this that we can see that. We can feel it. And I want to thank this church. What a blessing you've been to us. I mean, I know you've sacrificed for this meeting. The room, the food, oh my. I mean, tremendous. I've eaten more this week. And that's true. My wife decided that we needed to lose a little weight, and I don't understand that. And so we went on this thing called Nutrisystem. You pay to starve to death. And it's a wonderful blessing, you know. But for every meal, you go up and you get this little thing, and it's about enough to get about 4 bites, and then that's it. And you don't get satisfied. But I want you to know, this week, oh, I've been satisfied. I mean, I have been satisfied. The Autumn 8, oh my, what a place to eat. Mango ice cream. You got to get the mango ice cream there. What a joy that was. I haven't had ice cream in over a month. I made up for it. So anyway, I appreciate it. Thank you so much on behalf of all of us. I know every one of us that has come to this meeting has truly blessed. And I want to thank your preacher and certainly Brother Tricky and all of you who have been a part of it. The food, the fellowship, the encouragement, the spirit of your church. It has just been a real blessing and I want to thank you for it. Take your Bibles again, if you will, to the passage that we started last Sunday night. I want you to turn back to John chapter 4, if you will, please. And I got to thinking about this message. I preached a missions conference about a month and a half ago. And I always try to be sensitive to what God wants to preach. And you go, of course, as a pastor and or a preacher, and you kind of have your outlines, and you think, okay, this is what I'm going to do. Well, about 2 o'clock on one morning, God began to tap on my shoulder in bed and said, I've got something I want to talk to you about. And I said, not right now. And he said, yes, now. And so I got up and grabbed my Bible and grabbed a piece of paper and went into the bathroom because my wife was sleeping, and I closed the door. And for about 2 hours, I sat in there and worked out an outline that I preached. And I like it when God speaks to me. And I don't know why he led me to this passage and to this thought tonight, but again, I want to be sensitive to what he does. So if you'll join me, if you found your place in John chapter 4, if you will, out of respect for the word, stand. I'll read just a few verses of scripture, have prayer, and then you may be seated. Look at verse number 25 of John chapter 4. And it says, the woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. And Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. And upon this, and this is that, right after that happens now. And upon this came his disciples and marveled that he talked with the woman. Yet no man said, what seekest thou, or why talkest thou with her? The woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city and saith to the men, come, See, a man which told me all things that I ever did, is not this the Christ? Then they went out of the city and came unto him. And in the meanwhile, his disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat. But he said unto them, I have meat to eat that ye know not of. Therefore said the disciples one to another, Hath any man brought him aught to eat? And Jesus saith unto them, My meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. Tonight I want to talk about what our meat ought to be. Let's go to the Lord and pray. Father, once again I want to thank you. Lord, what an awesome responsibility and privilege it is to stand behind this pulpit and preach. And Lord, what a week you've given us. A week of true in my heart revival. And Lord, I'm thankful for that. And Lord, as we close out this week, I pray, God, that the things that have been done this week in the hearts of this church, in the life of this church, would remain strong. That in the days ahead until you return, Lord, that great things would be accomplished out of New Testament Baptist Church. And so now, Lord, as we prepare for this last few moments, I pray, God, once again, fill this place. Lord, I pray, Holy Spirit, anoint me and give me that direction that you'd have and help me to be sensitive to your leadership. And we'll thank you and praise you for all that you are. In Jesus' precious name we ask it. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. We know the story, of course. We talked about it last Sunday night about Jesus. And in verse number 4, I believe it is, if we look over there, it says that he must needs go through Samaria. There was a need for him to go into this place. There was one woman that he needed to witness to in his all-knowing, realizing that. After she gets saved, I believe there was truly a change in her life as demonstrated here, because she now leaves that place and goes into the city. Now, I spoke a little minute ago about the wonder of it all. I want to just think that probably as she was going to that city, she was saying something like this, Oh, the wonder of it all, the wonder of it all, just to think that God loves me. Drawing a crowd of people and saying, What is this? This is the woman who's living in sin and all the rest of it. What is she saying? Drawing the crowd. And it brought these men out to Jesus. And of course, he witnesses to them. And of course, many of those believed on the Lord, and I believe it was all because of the wonder of it all. And then we get down to this idea that these disciples, of course, as they left Jesus at the well, went into the city to buy the meat and all the rest to food to sustain them. And they come back, and when the lady leaves, he says to him, Master, eat. You need to have some nourishment. And of course, in verse 32, he says, I have meat to eat that you know not of. And then they question themselves as to, Hath any man brought him something to eat? Has somebody slipped something while we're there? And then Jesus says unto them, My meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. May I say to you, your missions conference this last month is just the beginning of what you're going to do. And to finish it out, to accomplish, as we heard last night, God's got a work to do. I just want to be a part of it. And to do that, I'm going to take that phrase of the Lord Jesus Christ, my meat is to do his will. And I want to share with you tonight that one little thought and some, I think, inferences that we can find from this that we ought to have in our life in order to help us to fill out and to finish what God wants. Notice, I believe, first of all, that when he says that my meat is to do the will of him that sent me, there was a thought of priority, a thought of priority. Jesus placed such a high priority on serving and finishing what God had called him to do that it became more important than physical food. Now, I don't know about you, but I like to eat. Amen? Some of you, no, never mind. I'm not going there. But the fact is sometimes I've been down in a basement. I got a little workshop in the basement, and sometimes I'll be in the basement and I'll get involved in some project that I'm working on, and Bonnie, my wife will yell down and say, "Hey, honey," and I like that when she says, "Honey." She says, "Hey, honey, it's time to eat." Well, I don't want to quit. I'm right involved in this. Maybe I've got some things glued together and I'm hooking it. I've got the glue on it. And so I'm more interested in finishing. The priority that I have at that very moment is not eating physical food. It's finishing the task that God has given to me or that I'm working on. Let me just say something to you. Here Jesus says, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me. The priority is to not do physical things. It's to finish what God has done. Amen? And so what we need to do is realize it. Jesus said that he came to seek and to save that which was lost. That was his priority. In the Old Testament, the Bible says that he set his face as a flint. It was unmovable to the cross. He didn't vary 1 minute, one iota. Even in the Garden of Gethsemane, on the way to the cross that night with the disciples, as he was there, and I believe when he prayed and said, "Lord, not my will, but thy will be done," it wasn't that he wanted to move away from the cross. He didn't want to quit going to the cross. It was never a thought of his that he would not give his life on the cross. I believe that the devil was so trying to get his life before he made it to the cross, because the devil realized that if he could kill him before he made it there, there would be no salvation. And so on the way to the cross, the devil was such a pressure upon him that he got on his face and he began to pray with such awesome burden that he said, "Not my will, but thy will." Why? He had a priority of serving and completing what God had placed upon his heart. Forty years ago, your pastor came to this church. Started this church. 40 years. I'm sure there were times that maybe he became a little discouraged. There might have been times when there was a problem. There might have been a time when maybe old somebody was trying to get him to go somewhere else. I don't know. But 40 years, you know why? The priority was what God wanted him to do. And I think what we need to do is get to the place where we say, this is it. You know, it seems today that so many other things have become a priority in people's lives. Families, hobbies, work, pleasures, vacation. And there's nothing wrong with those things. They're all good in its place. But shouldn't our priority be the first priority is what God has for our lives and what God wants us to do in serving him above all else? Everything ought to be my meat is to do the will of him that sent me. That's what Jesus said. Then secondly, not only I think there's the idea of the priority that Jesus placed here, but also the pleasure of it. He said, my meat is to do the will of him who sent me. You know, there's a hymn that has a line in it that says there's joy in serving Jesus. Amen? There's joy in serving Jesus. There's a pleasure in it. Now, like I said, I like to eat. I like good food. I have enjoyed this week. Boy, what a blessing. My wife has already threatened me that when we get home, we're back on Nutrisystem. So I'm not looking forward. In fact, I'm thinking of staying here. But the fact is that this has been a pleasurable time. I've enjoyed the fellowship at the meals. I've enjoyed eating the good food. I've just enjoyed being everything about it. And the fact is that is the way it ought to be when we're doing the will of God. It's not a drudgery to serve the Lord. It's a pleasure to serve the Lord. Amen? I mean, when I went to my church in I mentioned this a little bit ago, or last time I think I preached, that there was difference of opinions and different thoughts and all the rest of it. In fact, one Sunday I had 120 people leave my church and walk out and said, we don't agree with being an independent fundamental Baptist. We're not King James only, and so we're going to go find somewhere else. And I'll be honest with you, it hurt. But you know what? God is blessed. There's a good spirit in our church. And you know what? I look forward to going to church now. I look forward to go. There was a time when we'd drive to church when I first got there, and I'd say, "Honey, let's just keep driving." I mean, it felt like there was such an animosity that when I preached, the words would just go here. There was nothing. And I said, let's just keep driving. They won't even miss us. But now I look forward. You know what? We ought to have a joy in serving Jesus. My meat. I like to sit down and see the big boy. That ham the other day. Whew, that was good stuff. And I like scalloped potatoes. Oh, those were good. Nutrisystem. The psalmist wrote in Psalm 40, verse 8, he says, I delight to do thy will, O God. It was a pleasure. It's a joy. You know what? I don't have to go to church. I get to go to church. Isn't that an exciting thought? I don't have to serve God. I get to serve God. And it ought to be the greatest joy in our life is to serve God. I love to listen to the good preaching. I love to fellowship with other Christians. And what a joy. My meat, the thing that I enjoy of sitting down, ought to be to serve Lord, to please God above all else. Then there's a profit in service. He said, my meat is to do the will of him. Saying, you know, we need to eat to get nourished. If you don't eat, you're going to wither away and you're going to die. I'm not in danger of that. So if you don't eat, you're not going to make it very long. In fact, Nutrisystem is a starvation diet. My wife, well, I'll pay for this when I get home. But the fact is, we have to have this food in order to profit our bodies. We have to take in the vitamins and minerals in order to grow and to keep the muscles working and everything else. Well, I want you to understand, when I make the Lord and his service and his will for my life, what I ought to do, my meat to please him, then I become nourished spiritually. Amen? And that's what we ought to desire above everything else, is that when, I enjoy having a good ball game, and I enjoy seeing the good things, and I can profit. The Bible says that bodily exercise profiteth little. And I take that literally. And the fact is that, but what we ought to do is, when we serve God, we exercise ourselves spiritually, it becomes a profit to us in the spiritual sense. Amen? And that's what I want out of my life. I want to profit, and so I want to give my body to the Lord. I want to serve him so that I can become stronger spiritually. And if I get to the place where my meat, that food that I need to have, is the word of God, is the fellowship of other Christians, is the encouragement of others. That is what will strengthen me in my Christian life. The Christian life is a family, and a family needs to be together to stay together. I have a brother and a sister. My brother lives in California, not saved. Made a profession, but no fruit of it. I don't believe he's saved. And I haven't spoken to him since 2006. Now, I've tried to talk to him. I've called him. He won't pick up the phone. So our fellowship isn't close. We're not close. And the fact is that to stay close, to stay profitable in our relationship, we have to stay close together. So if I want to stay close and have a profitable relationship with the Lord, then my meat, the desire of my body and my spirit, is that I stay close to him in fellowship every day, in prayer, Bible reading, in encouragement, in fellowship with other Christians. Some of you go out in the world and work every day, and I understand it. I was in the Navy for 15 years in the United States Navy. I know what it is to live in an ungodly situation. But I want you to understand, that's what drives us and drives us and ought to pull us together in the time of fellowship at the church, because we need that. Yes, we need to be with the Lord, but we need the encouragement of other Christians in our lives. And so it is a profit of this my meat. When it becomes my meat, not just physical food nourishes our body, but serving the Lord and being fed spiritually nourishes our spiritual body. And we need to have that. Then there's a passion, I think, here that's inferred. It says, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me. This shows the dedication that the Lord had in serving his Father. If there is a lack of dedication, I think there's a lack of service. I think that's why the Bible said, Paul said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. It's not unreasonable on God's part. It's reasonable service to give our lives to the Lord Jesus Christ. It is what we ought to do, dedicating ourselves to him, giving everything we have to. And when we do that, then we have a true passion in this idea of what it ought to be, giving our lives over. 40 years of service here. Man, I that's just a blessing. Brother Burge, how many years have you been at the mission board? I don't know. I think you, back when Noah was in the ark. Or close to that, maybe. Just after the flood. But anyway, years and years of service. And serving God, seeing the things. And you know what that comes from is a passion. I love my wife. And I try to do things to please her. Because I have a love for her, a passion. I like to see her smile. She's not smiling too much right now when I'm talking about Nutrisystem, but I like to see her smile. I like to have her hold my hand and say, oh, honey, you're so sweet, and all those good things. And I have a passion to do that. So I do whatever I can to make sure I please her. Amen? I mean, I try to do that. I don't always do it. I fail a lot. I'm human. But I try. Well, shouldn't that be our passion? If our meat, if our very substance that we need to have is to please the Lord with everything we have, that is a passion that I ought to have every day. Lord, what wilt thou have me do? Saul, on the road to Damascus that day when he was saved, he said this. He said, Lord, what wilt thou have me do? I'm going to do whatever you want me to do. The passion of serving you. He said this, that he himself would be wish that he could be accursed if it meant that his people would get saved. What a passion. You see, I think sometimes we when we don't have the desire to feast and to have that substance of the Lord and God in our lives, we fail in this matter of caring about others and seeing them come into the family of God. If my passion, and the Lord's passion, is souls. That's why he must needs go through Samaria. Amen? He had to go there because there was one woman that needed to hear what he had to have. And when he did, that was a passion that drove him, and he could not get away from it. I want you to understand, if my meat is to please him and to do his will, then I'm going to do what it does to please him. I don't know about you, but my great desire, and I know I'm human, and I fail, even though I strive not to. But my greatest desire is to hear from the very lips of the Lord Jesus Christ when I get to heaven, well done, thou good and faithful servant. I want that. See, and that passion is what ought to motivate me every day for doing his will, not my will, but his will, and serving him. My meat every day ought to be to do the will of him that has saved me, that gave his life for me, so that I can hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant, at the end of it all. Passion. You know, we have people today, I'm sure it probably doesn't happen so much up here in Reserve Canada, but I have seen some of your hockey games. Now, you don't have the good stuff like football. I mean real football. Kick a little ball. Now, anyway, but you ever see these guys go to the games? I mean, they're rooting for the team. I mean, they wear stupid-looking things. The cheese head. Have you ever seen the guy with the cheese head hat? Yeah. The Viking horns. Take off their shirt, paint themselves all over with the colors of their thing. I mean, they look weird, don't they? You know what they're doing? They've got a passion for that team. They want to display. They're not ashamed of being recognized as a supporter of that team. I went to your pastor's house on Friday, whatever day, and I had lunch there. And afterwards, he gave me a cup of coffee with a Broncos cup? Worst coffee ever had, but... Just kidding. Well, there goes my invite back. But anyway, but he's not ashamed of that. I would be, but he's not. Why? That's his team. There's nothing wrong with that in a sense. But you know what? It really bothers me is why don't we go out and proclaim the Lord as openly as we would talk about our sports team? Why do we go out and be, why are we ashamed to carry a New Testament when we go out or have it in our back pocket? The day I got saved, I walked out of the shop. I was still in the Navy. Walked out of the shop on Friday, went to a Baptist church on Sunday, got saved, went back into the shop on Monday morning, and I had a New Testament stuck in my back pocket. And I'm not proud of this, but before I got saved, I was a sailor. I was a Navy sailor background. I'm not proud of that. I'm glad God saved me from it. But the shop guys saw something different. And you know, a lot of those young guys would come up to me with problems, and I put two chairs in a steam room, and I'd take those guys, and they said, I got a problem. I said, well, I can help you with that. Come on. And we'd go back into that steam room, and I'd set them down. And I take that New Testament, and I don't know how many of those young guys I had the privilege of leading to the Lord in my shop. You see, if we would do that, think how big of a change we could make in Hamilton. If every one of us, I'm not talking about painting your chest and saying, I'm for Jesus or whatever. But I'm just saying, going out, not being ashamed to say, hey, you know what, I'm a Christian. Hand out some tracts. Have a passion for the Lord. My meat is to do the will of him that sent me, Jesus said. He had the passion to lay down his life for us so that we could have life everlasting. Paul said, this one thing I do. I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Wow. Passion. He said in Romans Chapter 1, verse 16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Are we ashamed of it? I'm not. Boy, I'm so thankful he saved me. We ought to have a passion for it. And then I think it also kind of gives the inference that there's pain along the way. We kind of heard about a little bit of that just a moment ago. He says, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me. You ever gone for a while without eating? I remember when we were aboard ship one time, I had general quarters, and they locked down everything. You can't get out. You have to stay in your compartment or wherever you are. And mealtime came, and it went. Next mealtime came, and it went. And then they had the audacity to come and pass out C rations. Now back then, I'm not talking about the MREs. Those are good. We had little tin cans of Wonder Meat. You wondered what it was. And cold, you know, how beef gets, or some kind of a beef looking stuff, and it gets congealed. And yet, oh yeah, it was wonderful. But I tell you, because I was hungry, I ate it. There's a little pain. You know what? It's not wrong to have a little pain in our life. because it ought to drive us to the Lord Jesus Christ. My meat, the substance that I need, draws me closer to Him along the way. I don't think anybody wants to pay for the debts anymore. I remember I had a young staff member came on staff with me years ago, just out of Bible college. And I'd been in the ministry, I guess, probably at that time, 15, 20 years. And we pay, I think, pretty good. And he came in one day and said, Preacher, I'm having a little trouble. Can you help me out? So we tried to help him out a little bit. 2 weeks later, showed up with a brand new car. Okay. Well, then he came in about a month later and had a little piece of paper. And he said, Preacher, you said if I ever needed anything to come in and talk to you. I said, yeah. So he handed me this little piece of paper. And on this piece of paper, he had listed several things that he wanted me to meet his need. One was a date with his wife, and he had the price there. And another one was such and such, cleaning, sending his shirts to the cleaners. And his wife didn't work, and my wife washes my shirts and irons them. And I told him that, and that kind of upset him. And I looked at him, and I said, do you realize that if I pay you what you have on this piece of paper, you're going to be making more than I make? And I said, I've been in ministry for, I think it was 20 years. You see, the fact is he didn't want to pay the dues to get to the place where it is. You know, sometimes there's a little pain. But the fact is it's my meat is to do his will. If it takes me to the fire, I'm going to go through the fire. If it takes me through the flood, I'm going to go through the flood. Why? Because my meat is to please him. And to do his will. I'm not going to shun the problems. I'm not going to shun the difficulties. I'm not going to shun and run away from the things that are going to help me to draw closer to him. Because my meat, the things that help me and I need to have, is to do his will. And then notice, lastly, the persistency that I see here. He says, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me. And then he finishes it by saying, and finish his work. And finish his work. The goal of the Lord Jesus Christ was to finish what his Father had given him to do. In John 19:30, we find the famous words of the Lord as he's on the cross. It is finished. He did it. He accomplished that goal. Because he wouldn't quit. Because he wouldn't stop. He kept on going. Jesus said unto him in Luke chapter 9, verse 62, no man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. Staying with it. Keeping going. Persistency. No matter what. You know, a true servant in true service will always finish the work and never quit. I hear so many times when I've gone to different churches and fellowshiped with people, I always hear people, somebody will say, you know, I used to work a bus route. I used to teach a Sunday school class. I used to be this, and I used to be a deacon or an usher. And I used to started calling them, used to be your Christians. And the trouble is, why are we used to beers? Amen. If I'm still alive, did you know that I think if God's finished with me, he's going to take me to heaven? A year ago, well, I didn't make this meeting because I had just had a heart attack. And I was in the hospital for those days afterwards, recuperating and going through all that, I asked the Lord and I said, I started thinking, are you finished with me? Are you getting ready to take me home? Thank God. To me, he left me here. Of course, heaven's always better. But the fact is that made me think, we're just one heartbeat away. One heartbeat away from standing before the Lord and giving account of all what we are. And I certainly don't want to stand before the Lord and have to have him say, you used to be a preacher. You used to be involved in something. I want him to say, well done, good and faithful servant. So how do I do it? Well, I think my meat is to do the will of him that sent me. In priority, the pleasures, the pain, the profit, and the passion. So let me ask you today, what's your priority? Do you have that desire, my meat, to sustain me, that nourishes me, that drives me, that I need to have every day, is to do the will, whatever it is. There might be some young people here, might be some older people. By the way, let me say, God never puts an age on serving him. I believe with all my heart, we ought to want young people into the ministry, but there's a lot of our folks that are up in years and still serving God. Does that priority, the meat that you have to serve him? What if he called you today? Would you say, here am I, send me? Or would you say, not today? Do you have that priority? My meat is to serve him that called me. Let it be our meat as well. Father, help us. Lord, I just wanted to give a little thought, a little challenge, a little desire. And I pray, oh God, that we might look at our own lives right now and to determine, Lord, what is our life? Where do we stand in this matter of being faithful, of serving, of completing your will, your plan, your desire, your goal for our life? Is our meat truly to accomplish your will and to finish what you've called us to do? Help us, Lord, to be found faithful. And we'll praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Preacher.